It's a site-responsive piece, so we wanted to do it in two iconic locations in this area, and two quite contrasting locations in terms of site, ecology, history, architecture, everything. So this is a 7-hour performance for 11 performers. We will be using recording devices, speakers, laptops, acoustic instruments, voices. We will also be using materials from the site itself to make sounds. So the piece sort of asks the question, what does music mean in relation to a particular site? How can music be a way of discovering, of becoming aware of the things that are special about a site. So one way that the piece does that is to mimic and build a musical vocabulary out of the ambient sounds of the site, the everyday sounds, sounds of birds, wind, traffic, you name it. So we'll be recording that and playing that back and processing it in various fashions. We'll eventually be using instruments and voices to imitate those sounds in real time. So we've been spending a lot of time preparing that. And then the piece's final section, we actually will modify traditional, conventional acoustic instruments with materials found on the environment. So we've got some local school districts to donate their sort of discarded instruments. So we'll be dropping rocks on a drum and scraping a cello along a rock, and all kinds of fun things. I mean, the sounds are actually quite gorgeous. I mean, and of course, there is a certain, you know, there are taboos being broken, but it's really interesting to think about, you know, what does violin mean in relation to a natural environment.
I think you might make a symphony person cringe a little when they see that. What makes you think of those things to do in this? How does it, the creative side, come together on it?
So this piece, it's actually by a composer named David Dunn, who's from the West Coast. He actually wrote it during the 1970s, and for some reason it was never realized until we realized it last month at Silo City. So he's kind of an important figure in thinking about taking sound outside of concert halls into natural environments. He's done a lot of research about creative sound making with animals, sort of the innate capacities that all species of life have to make sound. So this is kind of an early piece, just thinking about, you know, what can sound mean in an outdoor natural environment. So he conceived of this piece in 1975. So it's a 2-page score, just verbal notation, very open-ended, specifying these 10 parts, each with kind of a distinct set of priorities. So we've been working really hard to actually flesh that out into a 7-hour performance for 11 players.
What would you say was the most difficult piece of sound to create?
That's a good question. I think I would say the sections where we have to imitate real-time ambient sounds with instruments, that's extremely difficult, not only to get the pitches right, but, you know, to get the volume right, to get the tone color right, you know, within the limitations of a given instrument. It's sort of taking my, you know, I'm a classically trained musician, you know, I did ear training and those kinds of things. I teach it. But this is, you know, this is those kinds of things times 10. I mean, I really have to turn up my sensitivity in a way that I've never had to in my entire musical career.
Well, Colin Tucker, thank you so much for coming in and talking about your music project.
Yeah, thank you so much, Eileen.